Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, August the 8th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the big book and we are on page 46, the second paragraph, much to our relief, and we'll just be studying that one paragraph only. And let me see. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Judy M., the 12 Traditions, Summer D. The readers of the text are Karen R., Dion R., and Kathy Jo P. And the share ID for yesterday, Wednesday, August the 7th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 13,249. That's 13249. And for this morning's 7 a.m., August the 8th, Eastern Time meeting is 1325. Oops, I didn't get that on here, and I'll get it on here right now. 13254. That's 1325. That's 13,254. And the newcomer greeter is Nan K., and our announcements coordinator is Janice P.M. Overeaters Anonymous, our preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Judy M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning. This is Judy M., recovering in Clearwater, Florida, and I will be reading the 12 steps. 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to the compulsive overeater and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
And thank you, Judy M. And now I will ask Summer D. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Summer.
Good morning, Mo. Summer D., gratefully recovered in SoCal. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Great, thank you. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. personal progress depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Summer. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone again, and that's not the mute button on your phone, that's star 1. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 46, the second paragraph, much to our relief, and we'll be reading that and discussing that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Karen R. to begin reading. Thank you, Karen.
Hello, this is Karen. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can, Karen.
Hi, this is Karen R., compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic in recovery from North Carolina. Much to our relief, we discovered we do not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with Him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek Him. To us, the realm of spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. Oh, that is such a awesome paragraph. I'm thinking about how when I first came into 12-step rooms, I had so much fear, and I grew up a daughter of a minister in an alcoholic home. And it was a relief to find out that in the room I could find a higher power that was love, underlining the universe, the totality of things. This is just such an awakening for me. And as the years went by, and then I finally come to this program here, Vision for You of Overeaters Anonymous, I was like, well, what else? How come I haven't been able to beat this food thing on my own? And how come I haven't? Well, I think it just shows down here. It says, let's see, where is it? Okay. We began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. So for me, the simple steps was to do continual work, to go deeper, to do the 12 steps, to do that in such a way that it permeates my 24-hour day in a way that it's never been done before. I mean, I was awestruck by Vision for You, the shares. Like, how do they do that? How do they do that all day long? And I found out, you know, I got a sponsor in this program, and I went through the steps again on an even more deeper level. And oh my gosh, the results were amazing. They still continue to be. It's a daily program, and earnestly seeking God to me means I have to take my inventory, share it with another person, get a new perspective that hopefully is more of a God perspective of love, tolerance, patience. And then I reap the benefits of peace. I get peace. I get peace, I get joy, I get forgiveness, I get all these things, self-forgiveness, forgiveness of others. Oh, thank you for timing me. So I have a lot of gratitude, and with that, I pass.
All right. So just to remind everybody that just got on the line, we're on page 46, the second paragraph, much to our relief. We're unpacking that one paragraph only, and the lines are now open. For those who want to share.
This is Maureen S.
Maureen, gotcha.
Thank you.
Hey, good morning, Electra S.
Electra S. I got you, Electra.
Barbara G.
Roz, was that Roz G?
Melanie C.
Robin H.
Barbara C.
Barbara E. That was Barbara E. Sorry, Barbara.
Melanie C.
Melanie, I got you, Melanie.
Sherry KB?
I got you, Sherry. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you. Next time. Be ready, KB. Okay, Melanie C. Okay, Maureen S. I think it's Electra S., Robin H., Barbara E., Melanie C., and Sherry KB. All right, Maureen S., you're on first.
Thank you so much. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Yes, awesome. Thank you. Maureen S. here, recovered in New York. I love this paragraph. This paragraph kind of sums up for me why I was in relapse for so many years. I would have thought I was a religious person before I was recovered. I would have told you if somebody asked me, are you religious? Oh, yeah. I would say I have a great, you know, faith in God, and I went to church, and but I was never recovered. I was constantly in the food. The food was always my drug of choice, and I was never able to recover. And this paragraph speaks perfectly to why. Because I used my drug of choice, food, as my higher power and my God, or I used myself. So I would whenever I was worried or concerned, I would always go to the food, or happy or sad or whatever emotion, I would always use food. And I put myself as God, not only for in my own life was I in charge and I thought I knew better, but in every person in my immediate family and all my close family members, I thought I was their God too. So if something was going wrong in their life, I had to fix it. I had to help them avoid X, Y, Z. I had to help figure this out. I had to prevent this calamity. I had to prevent this poor decision. All these things that had nothing to do with me and that should have been in God's hands, I took and made myself God. So it was food and myself that I had placed in God's position. And that was the other simple steps. I had to put the food down, which to me meant taking my job away as God. And I never did that. So I would be trying to put the food down and following this food plan and following this diet. But I kept control of the God position in my life. I never did what this paragraph says. Other simple steps means I had to put the food down and I had to stop playing God. And when I finally did that, when I finally followed what that says and just listened to the other simple steps, then all of a sudden I started to have this awareness and this spiritual awakening with the contact with the with this creative intelligence that this paragraph talks about, my higher power, my God, the spirit of the universe. And it didn't matter what I learned about God before, like the first paragraph says. I discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. So that was my upbringing. I didn't have to have God in that little box of the church that I grew up with. And I took him out of that box and just really allowed him to be like the higher power of the universe instead of this man-made religious God that I had always like prescribed him to. And then I had power from my higher power, and I got the direction that I needed to be abstinent. And it's like a miracle. And this little paragraph for me is how I got abstinent. I am so utterly grateful today. One day at a time, I'm just relying on him. I stopped playing God, which I was never God anyway. That's the fallacy of it, is I thought I could figure everything out for myself and everybody else. And obviously I couldn't, because my life was totally unmanageable. And then I was freaking out because I couldn't be God for anybody else and I couldn't fix everything. So what a miracle and what a relief today that recovery is. And I thank you so much for letting me share. I'll pass.
Yeah. Thank you, Maureen, for getting us started. Electra S., followed by Robin, and I think it's H., so I'm not sure. Electra.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. Electra S., recovered bulimic compulsive order eater in California. Wow, what a gift to hear this, the previous share talk about relapse. I think I've lived in relapse the majority of recovery. And, you know, when I first came into this program, I really thought I could live this program through step two. I knew my life was unmanageable. That was clear. But powerless? Absolutely not. Like, I had power over my life. I had power over others. I had power over every meeting I was at. I could run the show. And when I opened up the big book with my sponsor and read The Agnostics, it was a big sense of relief to know that I thought I was opening up a chapter that told me, you don't have to believe. We're agnostic. That's what I thought agnostic meant, that we can run on self-will. And after reading that chapter, I was convinced that there was a power greater than myself. I fell to my knees knowing that if I continue to run on just my will alone, that I'll be in this disease forever. And those blank spots, they come off often for me right now as I'm on the road traveling so much for work. And so when I don't continue to do 10 steps and 12 steps and meditation and live in 10 and 11, 12, it's so easy to rely on a power in myself versus the God, that my God that is there to protect me and to not only serve me but allow me to serve others. And it's such a beautiful gift that we were given this chapter to someone like myself and to so many others out there, and some maybe some newcomers who are reluctant because of all of the beautiful shares on these lines that reference God, but we've been destroyed. We've gone to our knees, and we know how utterly terrific disease can be when we're in it, but when we're free of it, when we turn it over, when we believe in a power greater than ourselves, mine is God, every day can be serenity. Every day we can surrender what we can't control. And for me, that's a blessing every day, because I will run the show every day and it doesn't get me very far other than the food and the chaos. And I'm really grateful for everyone on the line and for the newcomers on the line. Introduce yourself. Know that you found a group of just tremendous, amazing fellows and recovery. And Mo-H, thank you for your service, but that'll pass.
Well, thank you, Electra S. Robin, is it Robin H? Robin H?
Yes.
Oh,
hi, Mo.
Okay.
Yes. You got it. Yes, thank you so much for your service. Really grateful to be here today. And gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and anorexic from Boston, Massachusetts. And when I read, like, much to our relief, that's the feeling that I had when I found a vision for you a couple of months ago. It was like before finding a vision for you, having tried other versions of OA and or other programs and fellowships, I felt like kind of at those points, prior to a vision for you, I felt like, all right, I kind of get it. Okay, I can do some of these things. All right, I can put some stuff into practice, but nothing really provided me with that sense of, oh, I get it. And what I got was, or one of the things I got was that for my whole life, I thought that I had to be perfect without even realizing that that was sort of the instructions that were operating all the time. And I realized after just a couple of weeks in, you know, listening on these calls that I'm like, oh my gosh, what I'm trying to do and have been trying to do is to be perfect. And I kept looking for like, oh, okay, so who's going to tell me what a higher power really is? And so I was just searching for the answer of what's a higher power? What is this thing that is going to help me? And all of that was all of my ego, all of my head, just trying to figure it out on my own, thinking that I was surrendering. But in no way was I. And I have recently come to realize that tendency in me to try to be perfect, all I was doing was closing off my heart, shutting myself out from everybody, judging everybody else around me and myself. And I was actually trying to be not human. Therefore, I was trying to be God. I was trying to run my own show, believing that, you know, if I studied harder or worked harder, that all the answers were going to come. And when I just stopped and said, and just became a little bit open to the fact that there is, like, I can look at things from a different perspective, and I can open up because there is a spirit out there in the universe that has been running, helping people run the show, or has been running the show for so many people and has helped so many people. And like every other human being, I too can have access to it. I just need to be open to it. And I don't have to figure it out in my head. I just need to sit in my heart and open up, and I need to listen. And despite the fact that I'm a therapist and a life coach, I don't listen very well. And I'm learning that.
Fine.
And I'm really, thank you so much. And I'm really grateful for all of you and the Big Book and for everyone who has helped write directions so that people can be free. Thank you. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Robin H. Barbara E., followed by Melanie C. Barbara, you're up.
Ah, thank you. Can I be heard right now?
You can.
Oh, great. Wow. This chapter is what I'm all about. I came into OA thinking that I had come into a cult, a group of lunatics that were holding hands and hugging each other and saying prayers, and I didn't understand. But like Bill, I was curious, and something kept drawing me back. And of course I heard, give us 10 meetings, and if you're not happy, we'll refund your misery. I stayed for those 10 meetings. I never really felt comfortable with the hand-holding and the hugging and all of that stuff. But the miracle is that I got recovered by doing all these things. I was under the delusion that I could solve this problem by myself. It was false thinking. Like a mirage, an illusion that there's water in the middle of the desert when there isn't. I needed to straighten out my way of thinking and understand that after 50 years of dieting and gaining, dieting and gaining, I had no power. I had no control. I could not rely on my sponsor. She's human. I love her, but she's human. I couldn't rely on the rooms. They are also human beings. I had to rely on some power that I had absolutely no idea of, whether it was the spirit of the universe, the spirit of good. I never personified anything, but I knew I needed something. And I have to say, my Ebby, who brought me to the meetings 22 years ago and then didn't stay herself for the miracle, changed the course of my life. So I think my higher power said, Barbara, you're ready now. You've wandered through the desert for 50 years. You're ready. And I was. And it is a miracle. And I'm so grateful for the appendix, the spiritual experience, because certainly mine was of the slow educational variety. But it doesn't matter when it comes to us. It will come if we open the door of our mind just a crack to let the possibility in. Thank you so much for allowing me to jump on this 10 a.m. meeting today. I pass.
Well, thank you, Barbara E. Melanie C., followed by Sherry K.B. Melanie.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Wilsonville, Oregon. I just want to say that may I always be respectful of what has happened to me and exactly by whom, and for all of you that's in this community that brought me in so that I can live daily abundantly and continue to stay awestruck with what's going on here. That's what I feel about the shares that I've been listening to today. This particular paragraph was one of many that was a game changer for me. I was at a place when I had to come to terms with whatever was happening to me to go and seek some help in a 12-step program, that this idea, this piece, is part of whether or not I was going to have to lean on God just wasn't on the radar anymore. I just needed help desperately, desperately, desperately. And when that food was set aside and I had neutrality around food, I was able to then get some clarity around what somebody's trying to teach me about the directions in this big book and what the whole point of it was. From that particular point, I can see back in hindsight that it simply was the stair-step method for me, the stair-step of, okay, I'm here, and I got it. Would you help me? And that was my first power outside of myself. That was a big deal. And then it went from, you know, that certainly to the sponsor, and my sponsor reminded me, you know, Melanie, if you make me out your God, I can't sponsor you anymore. I won't be able to manage that. And so we continue to spread and move and apply these steps on a daily basis. And then it came to be of service. And then I got to read this particular paragraph. What brought me to my knees was that we found that God does not require too hard terms with those that seek him. And I was able then to just melt that old conception of whatever it is that I was influenced by all of my life about a God. And he made it simple. He said, Melanie, you don't have to do anything but continue to suit up and show up and apply these steps. And then it gives me space to come in to transform the kind of thinking you had to what it is becoming now, which is big and bold and broader and so inclusive. And I couldn't have done that by myself. And each experience then seals the deal and what I can't do and what this power does. And I don't know if it has a shape or form or whatever it does, but it is mighty within me. And I see it every single day. I don't even want to get up without coming into these rooms each and every day. I don't want to miss a snippet of it because it's life-changing. And it happened to me to show up, do what is directed of me to do, have somebody hold your feet to the fire, and it happens to me, and it is called God. That's just what we do. We just call it God for a variety of reasons and definitions. Thanks. Pass.
Oh, thank you, Melanie. And before Sherry, I will remind everybody where we are at. We're on page 46, the second paragraph, much to our relief, and we're unpacking that one paragraph only. And after Sherry, I'll take more names. Sherry, good morning.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California, a very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader. Thanks so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line and Team Thursday, and welcome newcomers. I love this paragraph. What I realized when I was listening to everybody, and I was thinking about how, you know, I made food my higher power, and then when I came into the rooms of OA, I made a diet plan with group support my higher power. And then it was like the sponsor I made my higher power, finding that right sponsor, she was going to keep me abstinent. And, you know, I was relying on the wrong things. I needed to rely 100% on God. And I also know that when I work with people, I ask people to please find the higher power of your understanding, the language of your own heart. That's how I did it. That's how it works for me. Whichever higher power is best for you, that's what you want. And I don't try to push them of my belief of how I believe in God, but just finding the language of their own heart and how important it is to that effect that happens when we seek a higher power. Sorry, I'm getting choked up here. Sorry about that. The in creative intelligence and spirit of the universe, these are just names for a higher power. They're capitalized, if you noticed. And just that sense, like when I turned my will and my life over to higher power, I put the food down. That was my responsibility. But then once I got into the step work, God was the one that kept me absent, happily and contently, which I could never do. I was always white-knuckling it when I was doing it by myself. But when I felt that new sense of power and direction, once I did the steps, which are simple steps, I connected with my higher power on a level, and I continue to do that, and I continue to learn and grow. And to seek my higher power is an amazing experience, because that's what, you know, we have to do. We have to seek that higher power, the language of our own heart. And one of the lines that I love here is so beautiful, is that it's the realm of the spirit is roomy, broad and roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive, or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. And it's open to all of us. So whatever your beliefs are, you can join us. Whatever background you have, it doesn't matter, because we're all here together doing the same thing, wanting the same thing, to stay recovered and to be of service to other people. And that's what it's all about. And, you know, we don't leave you out. No, we don't leave anyone out. We want all of you. We want you all to be here. We want you all on the phone, in the meetings, being of service, helping another suffering compulsive reader. And through our higher powers, we can do this. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. And I will now open up to take more names.
Jackie H.
Cindy D.
Jackie H.
Kristen D.
I heard Cindy. Was that Cindy D?
Kristen D.
Yes.
Carolyn S. H.
Carolyn S. H.
Kristen D.
Kristen D.
Nadia D.
Nadia D.
Raquel calling from Israel.
Say your name again from Israel.
Raquel.
Raquel. Okay, I got you, Raquel. And that's, we'll stop
Bruce
there.
Bruce E.
Oh, Bruce, I don't think I can fit you, but I'll put you down. Okay, so I have Jackie H, Cindy D, Carolyn S-H, I'm not sure, Kristen D, Nadia D, Raquel, and possibly Bruce. I don't know if we're going to get there. All right, Jackie H, you're on.
Good morning, good morning. Thank you for your service, dear Wen. This is Jackie H., recovered in Colorado, and I'm so glad to be here. The very last part just
keep speaking to me. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, and all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. That is the good news for me and for all of us, I believe. I grew up in a religion that was very exclusive, and I chose to go into it, go into the ministry, and that particular religion was very exclusive, and there were a lot of rules, and a lot of people were excluded. They had to follow a set of rules in order to get into heaven or just to be okay, and I didn't know any different. And I was in that space in my head and in my spirit, and all the while, here I was, right? I had absolutely no power over my compulsive overeating and binging and purging and restricting all the while. And here I am on this high pedestal looking down. And, you know, And then other things showed up. Alcohol showed up, and my life did not function. It did not function in the religious atmosphere that I was in and environment. And so I put it all aside, and so I did the one pendulum to the other. And when I came into OA a year ago, wow, my whole life changed. And you know, I did. I put down the food. I got a sponsor. And then the food was, I couldn't believe after so many decades that I was neutral with the food, that I had the wherewithal to pay attention to what was going on inside of me and to do these steps intentionally and deliberately. And it brought me to a place to where today I do live life intentionally and deliberately, wanting so much to be a vessel. I've used this little body and to get what I wanted, for power, to get more. Today when I wake up, I just say, you know, God, use this body today for service for you and for my fellows. And I do. Thank you. I am so grateful to be here. I'm grateful for the gift that you guys, all of my God here, you are all God with skin on. And God speaks to me in so many ways, and most certainly through you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Jackie H. Cindy D., followed by Carolyn S.H. Cindy. Press star 1 to unmute, Cindy. I thought I heard a Cindy. All right, we're going to move on to Carolyn S.H. We'll go back and get you, Cindy, if you're having trouble. Carolyn S.H., can you go?
Yeah, I can. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks. I think the moderator, Mo, thank you so much. I don't have a timer. Okay, if you can time me, that'd be great. I'm in the car.
Being done. Yep.
Thank you. So, let's jump. So, hello, Carolyn, SH, recovered compulsive eater in Massachusetts. And what I want to comment on today is just that small phrase, and I might not even say it exactly. I think it's contact. With him, the word contact. And me too. I want to just kind of highlight what others have said about this paragraph being really important. It's important to me because it tells me that I can have a relationship, actual direct contact, with a great power that will fill me with a new sense of power and direction, you know, and And that's exactly what I was, we learned a page or so ago. That's what our problem is. That's what my problem was, and still is. I lack power. But if I have contact with a loving being that is all powerful, then anyone could be better than that. And sometimes I don't even know how to speak about contact with my higher power, and it's I have had moments of absolute certainty that I'm in the presence of whatever God is, and then sometimes obviously not, and it all doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter. I just what the task is for me is to just keep living in these steps, you know, follow the few simple steps and live that way. And I mean, 10, 11, and 12 is where I live. Actually, 1 through 12 is where I live. And those in my life, depending on if they're in recovery or not, have various levels of knowledge of that for me. Some have no idea that's how I live, and some know very much about my personal relationship with my higher power. And I do things that I don't think I could do before without great, great difficulty or without causing chaos. I'm actually driving home with the last things from my parents' house and my car, and my sister and her family are driving a truck and four cars, and the house is empty and it's going to get sold, and everyone was very emotional. Oh, thank you. I'll just wrap up by saying, you know, people were like yelling at each other and stuff, and I just was able to remain peaceful and be a sense of hopefully a source of harmony for everyone in this difficult time. So that's it for me. I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Carolyn S.H. Safe driving. Cindy D., are you back on?
I am, Mo. Thank you. Thank you.
Great.
This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. And sorry about that, everybody. I got booted out somehow and had time getting back in. But anyway, you know, I know that my higher power works in my life every day because I'm abstinent, and there's no way that would have happened for me unless some power greater than me had done it. And some days I feel my higher power. I get a warm, snuggly feeling, and I feel very peaceful and content. And other days I feel like I'm a little distanced from him. And I'm coming to realize from working with a new guide that that's part of the relationship. You know, it's like any other relationship. There's up and downs, and there's good days and bad days. And I've learned this really simple prayer from another program of, when I look, let me truly see, and when I listen, let me truly hear. And I'm learning to do that with my higher power too, because I'm realizing that it appears to me in many very different and simple ways. And I got some news yesterday, or the day before actually, that I'm facing my fourth, maybe fifth medical procedure in the last 5 months, that something that's a result of surgery I did years ago because of my compulsive overeating has not healed properly, and still trying to fix it. And you know, I started struggling a little bit with, you know, God, if you're here, why is this still happening? And I got on the phone with a fellow, and she did this beautiful prayer with me. And part of what she said was, you know, God, Cindy needs to know that you're there. She needs to see that you're there. You know, show her that you're surrounding her. And I went outside to do some things, and just a series of things happened, you know, between breezes and noticing how beautiful some trees in my yard are, and then realizing God even has a sense of humor when I watched a blue jay chase a squirrel across the street, pecking at it and making it run into the field. It was just hysterical, and I just was so thankful, and I could thank God at every one of those and see them, and I know that that's a result of this program. And I'm coming to find that I feel my closest to my higher power when I am out in nature. And I can just see all the wonders around me of how things work. I am so in awe of that. I'm grateful that that's the result of working these steps and being in this program. And I'm leaving this afternoon to go spend several days with my mom to take care of her while my brother's on vacation, who's her primary caregiver. And normally I think I'd have some trepidation about it, but I'm just really excited about the opportunity to be of service to her and to spend time with her. She and I have not spent time alone together in a concentrated way for many, many years. I couldn't even tell you when. And so I'm excited about this. And God's, thank you, I've heard you. And I'm just excited and grateful for where I'm going, and I'm thankful for my fellows and for all of you on the line. And thanks, Mo, for your service, and I'll pass.
And thank you very much. So we have 4 shares left and 5 minutes. So I could maybe get 3 of you in if you each take 2. So Kristen D., you're up. Kristen D., *1 to unmute.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, this is Kristen D. This is my first time sharing. I just want to say I feel so grateful for Vision. I've been in OA for many years, and it wasn't until I was introduced to Vision a few months ago. And I guess what it brought to me more than anything, and I guess just speaking from my heart, because I always get nervous about talking, because I always feel like I'm going to say something stupid. But speaking from my heart, I've just been getting in touch with the fact that this program for me is about total surrender. And my whole life, I have a neuromuscular disease. The other person was sharing about having medical issues, and mine's been progressing, and it's been getting pretty bad lately. And so that, along with this eating disorder, I'm realizing I have to just surrender everything to God and to trust. And I just have not been a truster my whole life. I've been my God. I've tried to control everything. And it's just really that seeking, to ask for help with everything in my life. And to just say, I cannot do this. I don't know what's for my best interest. I think I do. I thought I did my whole life. I'm 56. And I've certainly made a mess of my life in so many ways. But it's just that willingness to say, I need help. And I have an open heart and an open mind. And I'm willing to hear the voices through you all, God with skin, and through things that happen in my life. And just have that humility to say, please show me what is a loving action to take. Because I want to live this life of love and service and everything that this program, and I truly believe it was divinely inspired, and it gives me so much hope. But it's acceptance. And this illness I have is not going to get better. There's no cure. And it's like with compulsive overeating, this addiction, there's no cure except for a spiritual cure. And all I need to do every day is to show the willingness to show up, to ask for help, to be teachable. And I'm just so, so grateful to be here. And I'm just sending you love to all of you. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Kristen. Welcome to the line, sharing. Nadia D., followed by Raquel E. Nadia, if we can fit everybody. Nadia.
Thank you, Mo. This is Nadia B., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. What spoke to me today was we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction. And, the only power that I always relied on was my willpower. And that's the only one that I understood on step 1. That I had a contact with. And once I understood, with the help, with a lot of help, that my willpower stopped working. That's what the doctor's opinion helped me with, right? My willpower, when it comes to food, when it comes to even my life, lost its effects. My willpower faded away, I worn it out to the ground, and it became non-existent. There I am, all powerless. And as soon as that understanding, I think that's the natural progression of of the step to the step two, you know, it is a definition of the mind. You know, what am I here doing without power now? You know, I have to look for it, right? I have to get that contact. I have to get that contact with what? I have to have some type of concept. It's within me. It's already there. And, you know, I call my sponsors godmothers because that's exactly what happened to me. That's exactly when I realized that I needed some direction, you know, that my friends in whom the problem had been solved, you know, followed. I was possessed by a new power, by a new sense of power, to look for that true power, not my willpower. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you very much. And that's all the time we have for today. So I apologize to Raquel E. and Bruce E. Maybe tomorrow you can get on the line. Thanks to all who gave service today and all those who shared and all those on the line. And so we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Dion R. please read a vision for you? Press star 1, Dion. I can't hear you.
Yes, can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay, hi. This is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Excuse me, very grateful to be a part of the meeting tonight. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. Is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you do not have. You haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the records of the past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in this fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as we trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.